The following podcast is a work of fiction. All characters are the creation of Peter Williams. Any resemblance to someone living or dead is purely coincidental. Thank you.
They say that pride begets a fall. So, what will arrogance get you? As Sam and Jonah crash the High Mother's little party being planned at the flower shop. Oh, I would say they failed to bring a housewarming gift, but a sword of fire is definitely quite warm. Meanwhile, Nicole seems to have been set up to take on Mr. Alistair, which provides me enough reasons to warn my listeners that this podcast can contain images of graphic violence, child endangerment, and naughty, salty language, and may not be suitable for children under the age of 13. Now we shall find out this Tentacle Tuesday if Maggie can free herself from the restraints Cassandra has placed upon her. If not, will she become the source of Cassandra's ultimate revenge? As we begin Chapter 20, Convergence Part 2.
Using an illusion, Mr. Alistair followed Jonah across the skies of Rift. Although still early in the morning, he did not want anyone to see him, as it might complicate his mission. As he drew closer, he felt the same charge in the air he had felt when he first noticed Jonah. The air seemed to vibrate, if not hum, as Jonah sped across the sky. The force of it was almost too much for him to bear, as it forced him to increase his own energy. He also realized that this could be an added problem. Cassandra had already caught a whiff of his presence. Now basically he was advertising his exact location. And worse still, Jonah had basically telegraphed his own to the Kadric Order. This could get messy and fast. Pressing a little harder, he felt a buffer between him and the kid. Was he actually creating a fracture in time? Only one way to find out. He tried to punch into the space surrounding the boy and was nearly forced back to the ground as he did so.
Come on, kid. You're really beginning to make this difficult for me, he growled.
He couldn't believe that Jonah was capable yet of such skill. He decided he needed to test his theory. He rose up again, increasing his powers to their maximum output, knowing full well that this would completely expose him to anyone that wanted to find him. He pressed again, trying to gain access to the bubble Jonah was in, and was again shoved back and forced back down. There was no doubt about it. Jonah was in a separate moment in time. For a third time, he rose up, but this time he decided not to puncture the fracture that Jonah was in. Assessing their situation, he realized that because Jonah was outside of this moment, there was a good chance Cassandra would fail to see him. That meant he'd catch them by surprise. But that doesn't ensure victory. He would still need to get to the flower shop to support him.
Fine,
he said to himself. But curiosity had gotten the better of him, and he still wanted to get a better fix on this new power emanating from around the boy. Closing his eyes, he began to reach out mentally across the fissure. There, he could barely see something on the edge of reality. An image. Small, but was that a girl he was seeing? But before he could focus, a wall of flames engulfed her and Jonah. Flames, he thought to himself. There was no doubt. This was the work of the Eos Delection. It was enhancing his powers, shifting him out of reality, to cover his presence, and giving him wings of fire. As Mr. Alistair arced, Jonah suddenly shot straight up into the sky. He hung there briefly, the flame stretching out. He caught a glimpse of Jonah's eyes before he went into a full dive. They were a blazing deep amethyst. He was just about to follow suit when he sensed another pair of eyes seeking him. Not good. He'd have to serve as Jonah's foil.
Seeking a fight, are you?
He grinned. It had been a long time since he could go full out in battle. The last time, he had to focus on rescuing Jonah. He reached back behind his back and felt his axe manifest itself. And he, now like Jonah before, went into a full dive. Nicole had barely placed the orb back in her pocket when she felt a shift in the air around her. And froze. It was the same feeling that had overcome her when she was in between, pursuing Jonah at the cafe.
No, not now, she thought to herself.
She had just settled everything with Father, She needed time to finalize her end. Turning quickly, she grabbed the handle of the flower shop door and received a tremendous shock that literally burnt her hand. Fuck! She had no time for mother's games and pushed against the door with her mind. It bent inward, creaking against its frame, but it would not yield. Fuck! She cursed again, spinning around, trying to get a sense for what was happening. There was no sign of the boy or that fox angel. Taking a deep breath and reverting back to her non-human form, she reached out across the ethereal plane. As she did so, Mother's voice echoed through her skull.
That pesky failure of a demon is on his way here. Take care of him while I finalize things for tonight.
With a hard bite, she replied.
Yes, Mother.
Focusing her own powers, she reshaped herself again to appear human. It would be far too difficult to take him on in her altered state.
Damn you, Mother. I can't wait to strangle that lifeless throat of yours and burn your body in the wells of the waste.
She closed her eyes and began to search for the ex-demon and stumbled backwards. Flames. Her original sense was right. This presence she felt was not the demon's and was growing in strength. In desperation, she turned again to the flower shop entrance and yanked at the handle.
Mother!
She screamed, but the presence was only growing and she once again had to release the door handle. That was not Mother's power keeping her at bay.
Damn! Damn! Damn!
A sense of panic began to swell. She'd have no choice but to fight this ex-demon. And Mother? She'd soon have an unexpected visitor.
Fine. I wanted to be Mother's end. Instead, I will end this demon and serve Ekmalak in that matter.
Cassandra watched as her servants proceeded through the mirror and prepared to follow behind. She looked at herself and admired her beauty. It had been over a few hundred years since she had last adorned it.
Now, when had that been?
Funny, she couldn't remember, and it really didn't matter. This would be a true surprise for Nicole. As she neared the mirror, the water in the well began to slosh violently.
What's this?
She murmured and headed towards the well. A pair of tentacles shot forth, reaching towards her.
Ha!
She laughed.
This is Nicole's grand plan? To attack here? In the between, where my powers are at their height? Little fool!
She lifted Reginald with ease and watched him squirm in the air.
No, mistress, you misunderstand my actions.
Liar, I know what you and your darling daughter have planned.
No, my mistress, you are in dire trouble. Look!
He pointed towards the mirror. A ring of flame surrounded the circumference.
What foolishness is this?
She said, tossing the man aside like a rag doll.
Fox! Fox Angel! She's coming!
Cassandra frowned. Was this a clever lie being told by Nicole? Or was something else happening? Something that she had not foreseen? She marched towards the mirror and glanced back at the flailing man at the base of the well. Her eyes lit a bright red and she gave him a hideous smile.
It matters not whether you were being truthful with me or not. I know of your betrayal. Time to understand. True suffering!
Shadow-like hands rose up from the floor around him and tightened around all his limbs.
You think the pain your daughter had administered was bad. You think you can betray me and not see the true face of evil. Father! Take him!
The shadows pulled and then pulled him into the darkness. Reginald Collins shrieked and disappeared. Once more, Cassandra turned towards the mirror, a little leery of the fire that now swelled around it. Was it possible?
What is this? What has my daughter done now?
She wondered. Or is this Maggie?
No, impossible.
She's completely in her control. Frowning, she stepped towards the glass and felt a fiery hand reach through the darkness and pull her through the mirror with a violent tug. Flames seared her skin, vaporizing her newly formed self as she returned to that misshapen beast. A deep anger arose, and with as much power as she could muster, she began to resist whatever had gotten a hold of her. She extended once more her spider-like limbs and did her best to slow her ascent through the portal of the mirror as she plummeted into the middle of the flower shop. Fire now encircled the entire structure, and the blank humans she had sent through with Maggie were now nothing but smoldering cinders. Standing up, she felt no need to hold back and screamed in the direction of the boy that descended through the ceiling between her and Maggie. Finally, she was face to face with the boy that ate her mother. But something else was with him. Rising up, almost like a second skin, was a spirit that was clearly emanating from within the sword. And not just any sword. It was the Eus de Lection. Somehow, she needed to separate the two.
"Oh, of course,"
she sneered at Jonah.
"Child, do you not understand?"
She made a motion in the air, and Sam understood exactly what was happening, but a moment too late.
"Jonah, behind!"
But as she spoke, a large black dagger pierced up and through Jonah. Immediately his eyes went wide in distress, and he dropped the sword on the floor and went down on all fours.
"All too easy! Such arrogance, you and that girl, I see inhabiting the blade! Arrogance to think that such young children could defeat me! And now, it will cost you both!"
She raised her claws in the air, releasing a powerful blast of energy. Sam barely had enough time to take full form to block it from killing Jonah, who was bleeding out quickly if she didn't do something fast. Behind him, Maggie still stood there, trembling as blood dripped off the blade. Tears poured down from her eyes as she looked at the boy dying on the floor. Sam could see in Maggie's eyes that she had done everything she could to stop this, to stop Cassandra from using her. Sam decided to take a gamble and called out to the girl.
"You can still save him. Or do you really want this to be the end? Your end? You know what awaits us if he falls now."
Cassandra laughed.
"She's mine! Now and forever! No power on earth can save that child or any of you from what we shall bring forth!"
The time shift Sam had created was collapsing now quickly as Jonah struggled. He looked first at Sam and then back towards Maggie, who seemed to be blurring as she spoke.
"You knew if you came here I would kill you. You knew and still, why?"
Another blast erupted from Cassandra, and all Sam could do was hold it back. Cassandra was a true child of Ekmalok, a true demon of the waste. If she fell, Jonah was done. They all were. Again, she looked towards Maggie, but something was off. Somehow, she was blurred, as if her very existence was splitting. A dark purple glow began to swirl and mix with something. Something soft. Black. Feathers. The room was swirling with feathers. It was at that moment Sam remembered everything and turned to Cassandra, digging in.
"What nonsense is this?"
The hideous beast spat as Maggie seemed to be rising into the air. Cassandra motioned with her claws, trying to get Maggie to move on the Fox Angel that kept her from her prey. But Maggie rebuked the command as she gave the High Mother a look of death.
"You have caused me enough pain and destroyed enough lives."
Maggie's features were changing, growing smaller and more bird-like as she did so. With the transformation, Cassandra stood aghast as the eyeball she used to take over Maggie fell to the floor as a smoldering glob.
I...
And with a loud caw, Maggie, who now looked like a crow, flew directly at Cassandra. Cassandra again laughed mockingly.
"So, to escape me you shed your humanity for that boy. How sweet!"
She sent a blast of energy towards Maggie, but Sam diverted it and called out to the crow.
"Don't mind her. I can hold her here. Please, save him."
The crow's eyes met Sam's and then darted towards the now still Jonah.
"I won't let you,"
barked Cassandra, and the entire building began to shake.
"I will bring an end to all of you and Aldone's creation."
Sam held steadfast as she watched Maggie land on Jonah. Feathers again began to swirl, and she knew soon Jonah would be safe. The High Mother had been right. She had been arrogant and believed that she, with Jonah, could defeat such an ancient beast. Now, it was only a matter of time before the blade cracked under the pressure Cassandra was placing on them. She had to hold on just a little longer. Mikal turned quickly away from Jack. You know, eventually she'll find out, and she's not going to be happy. Jack smiled. Of course I know. But I also know that by everything I've seen, this boy is going to need a strong hand. What about you?
Me?
Mikal. I'm headed home to retire. Wait, what?
Mikal protested.
You have a firm ground to work with. To build the Sacred Dawn as a counter to Cassandra's Caitic Order. And General White, he's a good man. He's the right choice to lead this group forward.
But Jack...
Mikal, I know I don't look it. But I'm old, Jack admitted.
Mikal sighed. Are you sure about this?
Very. Besides, I don't have my gift anymore.
Mikal stared at him. Jack, that was meant only for you.
Then it should be mine to give freely.
He grinned widely. Are you insane? And, oh no, you didn't. Realizing what he whispered in Sam's ear before Mikal had placed her in the sword.
What? Jack said, playing stupid.
You passed your powers to that girl, didn't you?
Mikal asked, knowing the answer. Jack gave him a wry smile. Well, not all of them. I still need some of my abilities until Mr. Alistair shows up at my door.
And the Aeos Delection? What will happen to that?
Well, it needs to be stored in a safe place.
Mikal. Oh, no. I know that look. You're going to ask me for something you shouldn't.
Jack put his hand over his shoulders and wings.
Who, me?
Then with a laugh, he did just that. I'm going to need to steal a couple of gates.
Two? I figured one, Jack, but two?
Trust me, Jack said.
In his name, Jack, always, but...
Mikal knew he couldn't really protest because of his gift and because of all the time Jack had spent with his brother Gorshen. Jack knew so much up to a point in time. He must know something that Mikal hadn't seen yet.
Uriel sensed something reaching across the expanse of time and space. It was a cry for help, a cry that she should just ignore. However, the vibration it gave off felt similar to Jack, but it wasn't him.
Oh no, Jack, what did you do?
She closed her eyes in response and stretched out her mind into the continuum and frowned. She looked down from the tower she inhabited and across the lush hillside and towards the garden. Arista still sat there, playing on her swing with the animals and birds that adored her.
So we're not at that critical point yet. Then what?
She reached out further and let out a sigh. She had never regretted making Jack a Fox Angel. Jack had been something different. Someone who acted with full faith and mostly without thinking. It was what had gotten him into trouble 600 years ago. But now...
As reckless as ever, I see. Fine, Jack. I know what you have in mind, but when I'm done...
She unfurled her wings and soared high in the sky and over the garden and the steps of heaven and headed towards Earth. This would complicate things for her, but this was something Jack knew she nor Aldone could allow.
Sam, up against the wall, so to speak, as the sword she inhabits begins to crack under the pressure of Cassandra's continuous assault. And as a result, will Sam meet her true end? Is this the reason she doesn't remember anything? And although she is finally free from the bonds placed on her by Cassandra, will Maggie really have enough time to help Jonah, who seems to enjoy getting stabbed and lying on the floor? Meanwhile, we were promised a battle between Nicole and Mr. Alistair, and nothing? Not even an inkling of what and how it went? How am I supposed to keep an audience if you keep teasing them like this? What we do know is that the High Mother seems to hold all the cards as we finally reach chapter 21. Uriel.